American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
This is the National Intel Report, second hour right now. We've got Mr. Velvet Voice there, Mr. Vincent Finelli from USA Prepares with us for the second hour. Welcome, Vincent.
Hey, Stephen. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I wish we could have had the other guy there with us, but it is his show. The other show, can I mention his name? It is his show. He's probably listening going, how dare you cut my name out of this whole thing?
Is he
Yeah, I think he's all right. He sent me a picture. I think it's a spider bite probably, and we'll see. But yeah, he should be back in a couple of days. I don't know. But I was telling the listening audience that it was a blast. I had such a fun time coming up to your ranch, and you and I, John, sitting up to nearly 2 a.m. talking about world's problems, this and that. And I it was so funny because I was taking notes and you're looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm taking notes. This is great stuff. No, but I do appreciate you taking the time, and you're a great teacher. You really are. And you've got a lot of great things to share. And before I actually wrote some questions out for you, I wanted to throw something by you here just to see how you would react and how you might respond to this. Now I'm moving into another house and I'm in the process of going back and forth. And the next 2 weeks I'll be out of this HOA house here, which has been crazy living by HOA rules. But I started moving in and I had to go to the other house today, Vincent, and Sears came with my washer and dryer. We had to get a washer and dryer because family took theirs. And so here's the scenario. These two guys show up. They show up on time. They look like kind of like gangbangers. They got tattoos all up and down the arms and the neck. And the first thing, they bring in the washer and dryer through a double door. And I said, bring it through here. This will work better. And he didn't have it on. He didn't have straps on it to the dolly. And I'm thinking, you normally have to have these things strapped down because you don't want them to fall. And he's kind of wimpy looking. He's thin. He's thin. He's probably 135, 140 pounds tops, wet probably. And so he's bringing in this big, bulky washer, and he doesn't have straps on it. And I said, shouldn't you have straps on that thing to make sure it doesn't fall? Right away, I get the dirty looks, and he calls me boss to let me know he's watching me and putting me on notice, like, don't mess with me. So I help him because it started to slip and fall forward, which would have made a crash on the floor, and who knows what could have gone, electrical wires and stuff. So I catch it, and we put it down. And I said, that's why you need straps. And again, I get the dirty looks. So I finally step back and just let him and his other guy come in and hook all the stuff up, and they don't do it right. And I told him, I said, you know what, with that connection to the dryer in the back there, the outgoing, the vent, you need to do this. And they gave me that look again. He didn't listen to me, and he thought he could do it. So he pushes it close back to the wall, and he thinks he can just slide back there and hook up the vent. Well, he can't. And exactly what I said. You need to pull that out and then connect and then slowly push it back. It's a different kind. It's not that accordion type vent. It was actually a solid piece. So I finally got a little fed up with him and I said, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it myself. So I made a little lasso and I went down there and I pulled it up, pushed it back. It fit in perfect. So before he leaves, he gives me something to sign and he said, about going online. They're going to give me a call, and I need to go online to fill out a feedback of how they did their service. Well, I started thinking to myself, I'm the kind of guy who calls a spade, and what I really want to say is if I give you a score of 1 to 10, I'm giving you a 4. First of all, you're arrogant, you're rude, disrespectful, and you didn't do the job correctly. That's why I'm going to have to finish it up now myself. So I told my wife when she called you to get it done, I said, yeah, I had to finish it myself. So the question to you is, this survey is going to come to me. I could be the kind of guy I am on air right now and call a spade, but with that, I may risk security of myself and maybe my wife, my family, and that I won't chance. So I guess I'm going to be dumbed down to say nothing or not answer it at all, just forget it. And I'm not able to tell Sears that you've hired some goons to work for you and deliver your products. This is not a good image. This is a bad thing. I don't want to do business with Sears anymore, but who else sells washers and dryers? So now I'm going to have to bite my tongue, and probably I'm just going to say nothing at all. Vincent, how would you handle that?
Well,
how would you handle the survey?
Very, very simply. You said 1 to 10. You'd give him a 4 because he was arrogant, rude, mishandled your equipment, didn't do a good job. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out where the 4 points are coming from. I wouldn't give him a 0, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because if you give him a 0, they'll think, oh, this guy's just really angry, and you know, we're just going to throw that out because it doesn't merit looking at because you gave him a 0. But if you give him a 1, it's like, it's not a 0, it's a 1. What went wrong? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I would delineate all of the things that this guy did, all of them. And then I would say, so what do you think you should do, Sears, Roebuck and Company, mm-hmm. to make this better? What should you do? What should you do? Because I had to hook it up because the engineers that you sent were not capable of doing it properly.
Right.
So what would you do? Would you like to give me 25% off? That would be a good start. And that's how I would approach it. And here's how I look at this. Number one, when did you pay for this? Did you pay for it before you got delivery or upon installation?
Yeah, before, a couple days before.
Okay. So now whose products are they as they're coming through your door? Whose are they? They're yours. Mm-hmm. They're yours because you paid for them, right?
Right.
So these guys are mishandling your property. You have every right to say, look, don't drop it, don't fold it, don't spindle it, don't mutilate it, don't dent it, right?
Yeah.
And part of what you paid for was these two engineers coming to your house to install it, and you're expecting it to be done right. But what you've experienced is exactly what's wrong with America. Hardly anybody gets it right, hardly anybody. One of the instructors that we have on the air is a personal friend of mine. Actually, all the instructors are personal friends of mine. And this guy, his name is Joey. He lives in Michigan. And he absolutely goes ballistic when he's approached in a store and someone says, and I'm thinking like a Lowe's or Home Depot, something like that. And they say, may I help you? So he's anticipating that they are going to be able to do a better job than he is because they know the store. They're hired to be there. They're in the plumbing department. He's looking for plumbing. They're going to be able to help him. And when he finds out that they know less than he does about the store where they're employed, he calls for the manager. And the manager comes over, and the manager's annoyed because the manager's now being interrupted. So Joey will say, I bought this whole cart here. I've got it all filled up. Took about 2 or 3 hours. I got everything I think I need. Were you busy? The manager will say, yeah. And he said, yeah, I was too. And I was hoping that I could get some help from, you know, one of your salespeople, but they don't seem to know very much. You know what? As I get older, I forget. I'm getting more and more forgetful. I want to buy all these things, but you know what? I have to go home. I forgot my wallet.
I like that. I like that.
Well,
okay. So that's how I should answer that. Not give them a 0, not give them a 1. No.
Give them a 1.
Give them a 1.
Give them a 1 and delineate exactly why.
Okay.
And I, you know, for me, maybe I live a sheltered life, but I don't like it when people are representing or working for a company and they look like that. I don't want people who really look like they've abused the temple of their bodies with piercings and tattoos and antennae. I really don't want that. I don't want that in my home. I don't. So I would call the Sears store where you bought it. Mm-hmm. I would ask for the manager and I would say, you have a minute? As a matter of fact, I'm going to need more than a minute. Do you have a half hour? Because I think that's how long it's going to take. And I would introduce myself by name as a customer, spelled with a capital C. Because I used to work for Sears Roebuck and Company back in 1970, 1971. They hired me as a mechanic when I was not in high school, you know, after hours of high school. Not after I graduated, before I graduated, but after high school hours. I had one of those bays at Sears Automotive. And above the door, the main door, actually all the main entrance doors of the big store across the parking lot from Sears Automotive, there were signs that said, Sears, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's how I think of Sears. And I know the story of this lady who bought a pair of ladies' gloves, dress gloves, and they were leather. You know, the kind ladies used to wear to church mm-hmm. back in the mm-hmm. 1960s, 1970s. Mm-hmm. And she bought them, and they were very expensive, and they were fine leather gloves. And she put them in the washing machine. And just like magic, just like O.J. Simpson's gloves that got wet, mm-hmm. they shrank. Right. And they didn't fit anymore. And she brought them back, and she said, these don't fit. I put them in the washer, and they don't fit. And the salesperson said, ma'am, you can't wash leather gloves. You can't do that. And she said, well, satisfaction guaranteed your money back. And the salesperson said, no problem. No problem. Would you like another pair or would you like your money back? That's the way it used to be. Even if you were stupid, they did that. Not anymore. Not anymore. They hired D's, Do's, and Dem guys. That's what they do. So I give them a one and I would delineate it. Simple as that. And I would not worry about those guys coming over because they're not going to know. Because they've had problems everywhere they went. They didn't just become stupid when they came to your place. They were stupid before they got there.
Yeah, I don't think they could probably find my house again. I'm out in the country now, so they'd have to have a GPS, and they probably don't know how to program it anyway. Probably get lucky. All right, now, second question. John and I were, last week we were talking about, John had brought up DuPont. I talked to you about this earlier, the Teflon coating. By the way, I did look up and the hazards of Teflon coating in your pans, and the American Medical Association said there's no problem. Believe it or not,
that's crazy. I looked at it. Yeah, fluoride either.
Yeah, well, they said only thing you might have is the fumes. If it gets too hot, the fumes. If you inhale the fumes, you may have flu-like symptoms, which is total bunk. I'm surprised they actually got away with that, but I found that online today. But we were talking about the hazards of the pans themselves, and since you're USA Prepares and you want to keep us healthy and safe, talking about that, the dangers of the Teflon itself. So I said, well, if Vincent were here, we could ask him. And I think I know how Vincent would answer this question. What's the solution behind the dangerous Teflon coating in your pan? How would Vincent answer that? And I was correct. So how would you answer that?
Well, it's kind of simple, but let me say this before we start.
Sure.
Teflon is really slippery. I mean, you know that when you try to cook with it, and we all have, and I have too, you know that it really is a non-stick surface. But here's the thing to think about. If it's so slippery, how does it stick to the aluminum pan?
Right.
Not too well. Not too well. As a matter of fact, you can scratch it off. As a matter of fact, if you overheat it, it will burn off. And that and those fumes you're talking about
yes.
are, that's fluorine.
Right.
Fluorine. And it's really dangerous. So anyone who has a Teflon pan knows that it gets chipped. There's mm-hmm. Teflon missing. Where did that go? Well, there's no question where it went. It went into that spaghetti sauce. It went into that meal that you've eaten. That's where it went. You ate it.
Right.
So is it safe to use? Absolutely not. So the next question is, what should you use for cooking, which is what your question really is.
Right.
And there's only two things. And I have two first choices, depending on what I'm cooking. And I have been buying these used, because you can't buy them new anymore. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's what they are. Joey taught me, Joey in Michigan, one of our instructors, the gentleman I was telling you about, loves to go to junk stores. Now, junk stores are Goodwill, the American Federation for the Blind, those stores that are not-for-profit. People donate things. They have no idea how valuable they are. They donate them, and then these stores sell them at, 10 to 20% of what the real value is.
Right.
So I've been going with Mrs. Finelli, and I love to go. And I've been buying cast iron pots, mm-hmm. cast iron pans, and Revere ware. Revere is the stainless steel pots and pans with Bakelite handles, and they have copper clad bottoms, and the copper is electroplated. They are absolutely, by far, the finest all-purpose pots and pans you can buy. There's nothing better, nothing. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Cuisinart, doesn't matter. No pot or pan is as good as the Revere, and here's why. Most pots and pans today have rivets that hold the handle to the pan, right, or the pot. Well, those rivets are usually made out of aluminum, and they put a cap of stainless steel over the rivets on the inside that contacts the food. Revere doesn't have that. Revere is electrically welded. The handle is electrically welded. So there is no hole that has a rivet or two holes or three holes into the cooking surface. So there's no chance of having bacteria hide behind the rivets. They are easier to wash. They're easier to maintain. And they last forever if you don't put them in a dishwasher. And they cost about between $3 and $9 each used. The best ones are made in the 1960s and the 1970s, possibly into the mid-1980s. After that, they started making them in Indonesia. And what they did was, as most accountants were trying to prove their worth to the company, I think the accountants talked to the boss and said, look, you know what? These are really good pots and pans. We don't have to make them that good. We can make them half as good, and nobody will know because they'll look the same. So right, let's thin out the copper. It'll take less time to electroplate. Let's thin out the stainless steel, and it'll be wonderful, and we'll be able to make more money. The only problem with that is those thinner Revere ware, the new ones, if you put them on a flat surface like the counter or the stove and you don't put anything in them, they'll fall over because the handle is heavier than the surface of and the weight of the pan or pot is to hold it up.
Right.
So the test is, will it stand up on its own? If it does, it's probably good enough to buy. But then you look on the inside. Now, these are all going to be used because you can't get new ones that are any good. You got to buy used ones. Right. You look on the inside and you look for little tiny holes in the bottom, little pits. And that's where the stainless steel has been worn through by, acidic foods like spaghetti sauce, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't see little pits in the bottom, little black kind of holes like, but they don't go all the way through. If you don't see them and they haven't been overheated, so they're not, multicolored like iridescent on the bottom of the inside of the pan, that's probably a good way to go. Check the handles to make sure they're straight and make sure they haven't been dropped and make sure that they haven't gone through the dishwasher, which destroys the Bakelite. Right. So if you hand wash them, they'll last a couple lifetimes at least. Second choice is, of course, cast iron.
Right.
And the best cast iron are the old ones.
Right.
Now, the old ones, and the new ones made by Lodge, L-O-D-G-E.
Right.
People think they're great, but if you feel the texture of them, they are really bumpy. They're rough. Mm-hmm. The older ones, like the Griswold and the Erie, those guys would actually sand smooth the interior surfaces. And when you season them with, oils, fats, mm-hmm. they would be almost as slippery as Teflon. And they worked really, really well. And you can get them for less than, $3 to $10 a piece also.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what this is. The Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out?
And we are back. We have Vincent Finelli with us from USA Prepares. He's on GCN and also on this network for a rebroadcast of his show. Vincent, before we go back to the discussion on this Teflon pan thing, I've got a couple callers. I think they want to ask you a question here. We've got Robert in California. You're on the show.
Yes, sir. I'm so sorry. I just called a little while ago, and I need to offer a redaction. It was not Clarence Thomas, but in fact, Republican Hank Johnson, a Democrat from Georgia, whose quote was, "My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that the island will capsize." That was not Clarence Thomas, guys, and I'm so sorry. I need to express to your listeners my apologies for that. That was, in fact, Hank Johnson, a Democrat from Georgia.
Thank you. Somebody else called in after you and told us that, so I appreciate the call back. Take care. Thank you. I'm going to go back to the phones here. We got another one. Let's see. We got Bill in Florida. You're on the show. Bill, are you there?
Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I got a question for Vince. What do you think about Teflon coating? What do you think about Teflon coating your motor with Slick 50 or something like that? I got a 3.0 Honda motor.
Yeah. Well, Slick 50 came out many years ago, and it was touted as the be-all, end-all, and to reduce friction. But you know what? Well, not only that, even oil filters were... were sold that had Teflon in them. So all you had to do was put the oil filter on, add whatever oil you were going to use, and you'd have Slick 50 in the engines. I've never used it. I used to race cars. I've never used it because it didn't make any sense to me. I don't see how it could possibly be better than a fully synthetic oil. So right. The answer is I've never used it. And you know what? I really don't want it clogging up any of the openings, if you will, in the conventional oil filters. And I use conventional oil filters. And I'm talking about the standard brands that you all use.
Hey, are you staying on GCN, or is that going to end soon?
Well, it depends on who it's up to. If it's up to me, yes. Okay. If it's up to GCN, I don't know. But are you asking me what happened? Is that your question? Because I can tell you the answer.
I know you get. I know you got stuck with a bunch of. They want money from you, but I was just wondering. Kind of like I just discovered your channel like about 3 months ago. I've been listening all the time, and then I heard something like, "Well, you had a problem with GCN wants money every month and satellite subscription, and you don't know if you're going to do it." I'm just wondering if you're going to be on the air in 6 months from now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, I can answer all those questions. I got an email from GCN management, and they said that if you'd like to be on the satellite feed for distribution to affiliates, it's going to cost $500 a month. And the good thing is it doesn't matter whether you're on 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, it's only $500. And I thought about that, and I don't sell anything. All of us at USA Prepares are volunteers. Nobody gets paid. Nobody gets paid, not me, no one. And I thought, why would I take time from my family and
I've got to stop real quick here. Bill, are you spanking somebody? What's that noise?
Oh, sorry, I was cutting a potato. Okay, I'll stop.
Oh, wow. I thought somebody's getting whipped. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So my thought was, why would I? Yeah, I don't mind volunteering. I actually enjoy it. I really do. But I don't want to pay for the enjoyment of volunteering, 2 hours a day to be on the air, plus, the prep time, which is a couple hours a day. And it doesn't stop on Friday afternoon. It continues every day. So I just learned today, one of our affiliates is furious that they took us off, USA Prepares, and replaced us with someone who's a cheerleader for big government and big corporations.
And law enforcement. Law enforcement.
Yeah, and of course, law enforcement.
Love the police. Love them.
Yeah, and so we spent 8 years teaching people about how this really works, and we've been replaced by someone who's a cheerleader for the other team. Well, that's business, and that's the way it works. I don't run GCN. I'm a guest. I serve at their pleasure, and they have never told me what to say. They've never told me what not to say. They've given me no advice or counsel in terms of here's what you will do. As a matter of fact, I don't even have a contract. I am one of the few people on radio who has never agreed to sign a contract. So I can leave on a moment's notice. I can leave in the middle of a broadcast. I wouldn't do that because I don't think it's proper etiquette. But I could, and they could throw me off in the middle of a broadcast because we have no contract. But I enjoy what I do. I have a lot of fun doing it. And I would like to stay. But if I am removed from the air, maybe I'd find another home right here at Republic Broadcasting. Now, John Stadtmiller, I don't think he would ever ask me to jump ship because that's something that's just not done. Okay, it's not proper etiquette to do that. But I have a feeling, and John and I are buddies. I mean, John and I are brothers. We just have different mothers. And he comes to the farm, and we have a great time. But I have a feeling, and it's just a feeling. I don't know for sure, but I think he might invite me to come over to from GCN over to RBN if I got canned at GCN.
Stay on the line. We'll be right back. Thomas in Florida, you're next up after. This is the National Intel Report. Be back after a short commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So I started out for God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there.
And this is the National Intel Report. Going back to the phones, Bill, are you still there in Florida? Bill, are you there? Bill's gone. Okay, we go back to the phones. Thomas in Florida, you're on the show.
Hello.
Hey, Thomas, what's your question?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to comment on the Revereware.
Yeah, sure.
I'm the same. I've been buying it for years, and yeah, you find it for very good prices if you go to swap shops or if you're in secondhand stores. And once you get used to looking for it, when you pick up one that was made in the 1960s, it's definitely different. The actual gauge of the metal is much heavier. And what I normally do is I carry a little straight edge with me, and if I'm buying like a big frying pan, because I got some really nice big, like, I don't know, 14, 16-inch frying pan, I put my straight edge on the inside to see if they've warped it. If somebody put it on the heat with nothing in it, it'll tend to, like, bulge, and it won't be absolutely flat. And I've had good luck finding some that never got abused that way. And, I mean, I buy them every time I see them, because I give them to my kids, I give them to people, because they're such high quality. The other thing is, I don't know if Vince ever saw it, but Revere made a coffee maker. Did you ever see it?
Yes. I have a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah. They you don't need filters. They're like two pieces with a plunger, and all you do is lift out the stainless steel plunger with all the little holes in it, and you drop in your coffee, you pour hot coffee through it, it drips through, it perks through, and you're done. And it's literally it's a forever coffee maker as long as you've got coffee and water.
And what you're talking about is a percolator, and they come in different sizes. And, as a preparedness-minded person, that was the idea behind getting a couple of those. So we have enough for just a few people, and we have ones that are bigger for more people. And they're in demand. You can get them on eBay if you want. I've never seen one at a junk store, as Joey would call them, like a thrift store. I've never seen one at a thrift store. But I have seen the Pots and Pans by Revere. And do you have any experience with cast iron?
Yeah, years ago I used to cook on it, and I kind of got away from it because of its weight, because we would take stuff camping, and we'd have stuff on a boat, and it would rust on the boat, so I kind of stuck all the stainless. But no, it's perfectly okay. And you're right, there are different qualities as far as the way they... I think I saw them milled. It's almost like they dropped a big head of some form, rotating head, to finish the pan off, on the cooking surface.
That's years ago.
Yeah,
and that's not what happens with Lodge today. Lodge is the company that survived all of the closings of the plants that made cast iron in the United States. They're the only ones that are left, to my knowledge. And they use scrap steel, scrap iron. So those steel bands that bundle lumber together, that hold these. Yeah, they use them. They use all kinds of scrap steel. And I'm okay with recycling, but I'm not so sure I want recycled Chinese steel if that's what they use in my pots and pans. So I don't have any more Lodge, it's nowhere near as good, nowhere near. So the ones together, the Griswold and the Erie, those are top of the line, top of the line. That was when America was at its finest in terms of quality, and there are plenty of Chinese pieces that you can get that are very inexpensive, but they're cheap. They're not good quality. So I would rather spend a few more dollars and get a good piece of Americana and use it. And I'll tell you how I clean it. When someone else uses it, that's really nice that it's all seasoned, but I don't know what they did with it. So I have an outdoor wood stove, and I just take them. I'm talking about cast iron now. And I'll put it in the wood stove. And I'll leave it there for a day, and it will come out looking brand new. I mean, brand new. And then I have to reseason it. But that's what I do, because I don't know what was cooked in it, and I'm not taking any chances. But that only applies to stainless steel pots and pans. And griddles.
Yeah, I would be leery of the newer cast iron, because you don't know what contaminants went into the... into the scrap iron when they were basically turning it into molten. I mean, there could be lead in there. There could be anything in there. And I really I don't trust the metallurgy in China at all.
it could be scrap iron from the World Trade Center, all I know, right?
If you go to the website, the Lodge website, they've got a little video there that you can watch. And they're really proud of how they recycle. And you'll see those banding straps, and you'll see all this other scrap steel and iron maybe they're used engine blocks in there. I don't know, but they're really proud of what they do. I'm not so crazy about that. I'd rather use the virgin iron ore and the virgin metal in my cooking ware. Recycling is okay for I-beams, but I'm not eating off I-beams.
I think cast iron has kind of got out of vogue too, because when I go out to like swap shops and things, we've got one. I'm living in South Florida. I see it all the time, and it's very inexpensive. Nobody seems to want it.
Yeah,
and I think that's very interesting. Some of the stuff I see is really old.
That's a very interesting point that you brought up. And what I see is, I think what happens. I see the Revere ware. I see once in a while cast iron, but not too often cast iron. And what I see, and lots of books, I think these young people inherit books and cooking utensils and cookware and glassware and leaded glass and vases and so forth. and they don't like it. So it's not modern enough. And they don't read anyway. If it doesn't fit on their smartphone, they're not going to read it. So they get rid of it. They donate it. And there are great treasures. I've bought encyclopedia set after set after set after set for $10, literally 50 cents per volume. Hardcover books are like $1 a piece, but not in encyclopedia sets because no one wants them. So they mark them down from $1 to 50 cents a volume. It's unbelievable. And I'm looking at building more bookshelves in our house for all these books I keep buying at 50 cents and $1 a piece. And I'm talking about hardbacks. Nobody wants them. But I'll tell you what, when the internet goes down or the grid goes down and these individuals are looking at their smartphones trying to figure out what happened, I'll still be able to get that information because it's printed and it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Whereas all you have to do is change. Like, for example, education. There are companies in California that write, you know, history, and they can change it in one place. They can change who won the war between the states.
Right. Hey, now. Thomas, I need to move on to other calls. We got three more callers lined up here. Thomas, thank you very much for your call. I'm going to go back to the phones here. Jeff in Colorado, you're on the show.
Hey, how goes it, guys?
Good.
This is something I was just going to tell Vince. I'm not really sure when it occurred, about 3 to 5 years ago. Goodwill Incorporated, and now they have a board of directors who draws incredibly bloated salaries. So they don't do the, you know, the charity work they used to do anymore. And right when they done that, there was a pretty hefty increase in what they charged for their used and unsold retail items they had in their stores.
Okay, well, here's the number. The CEO of Goodwill International makes 380 times more than a typical American worker.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The CEO...
But I mean, prior to this, they've done a lot more charity work than they do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The CEO makes a little over, three-quarters of $1 million a year in salary and deferred compensation right now.
A pittance.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You're absolutely right. So if you go to Habitat for Humanity, they have a store where people donate things, and they have people in charge of figuring out how much they should resell them for. They have volunteers who work there. They are in... they have very low overhead, and the prices keep going up and up. So you would think that they wouldn't be greedy. That's no longer the case. They're very greedy.
No, it's just charities are just, you know, they're out for themselves anymore, it seems like.
You know, I would love to have a company, and I'm being facetious. I'd love to have a company where people give me things, and then I have volunteers to work the company. And all I have to, and we're not for profit, and all we have to do is spend what we make and keep going.
Yeah. Just turn this stuff over to people that need it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Okay.
Appreciate
the call. Thanks for your time, man.
Appreciate the call.
Steve, I had a thing I wanted to talk to you about, but it's way off of this topic. I'll just call in on your
call on
show,
my show
someday.
Sunday. Yeah, call on my Sunday show. Appreciate that.
Gotcha.
Stay back on topic.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you. Jerry in Chicago, you're on the show. Jerry, are you there? Jerry in Chicago, once. Is he there? Okay, we're going to go to Mark in New York. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here, and I was going to make a motion that we have Vince back to talk for a full hour on the Orscheln universal hydraulic oil issue.
We're going to here if we can get this last call in. We're going to talk about that the next 15 minutes. At least get 15 minutes in on it.
He needs at least an hour. It's that bad.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what, Vince, you can come on my show. We can talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. What about next Monday? Is that possible?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
That's assuming it does rain and I can't do hay.
Okay.
Because, you know, you've heard the saying, make hay while the sun shines, right? And it's true. So I'm waiting for the sun to come out and the rain to stop, and I've got to make hay. But if it doesn't, if the sun does not come out, yeah, I can do it.
Okay. Write it down right now. Monday with Vinny. We'll talk about the hydraulic fluid thing. Yeah, we do need at least a good hour on this topic, no doubt about it. All right. Need to push on here with the phone calls. Murr in Wisconsin, you're on with Vincent.
Taking my call. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to tell you a couple different things, but one I thought was pretty interesting was back east. You know, I used to go to the Goody shops, the Goodwill and the Sally shops, mm-hmm. the Salvation Army. But mm-hmm. out here, it's mostly St. Vinny's, St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah, we have them out here.
I thought it was pretty good. And pots and pans and all kind of good stuff. And I just don't go anywhere that often and don't need to. And I think that's something else we need to learn to do is be stationary and without the media. So, and like you say, cutting hay provides that opportunity. But I sent you an email, too, there, Steve, about Hank Johnson and also Cynthia McKinney. He pushed her out. Well, they had him push her out, you know, from the 4th District there in Georgia and redistrict. Mm-hmm. And now we have Swalwell wanting to try to tell CNN to stay out of Georgia because the abortion law. But most of all, I wanted to tell you about 1977. I was living in a little house in Seabrook, New Jersey. It had been Japanese housing, you know, when they mm-hmm. were incarcerated, basically. And yeah. the fellow from Sears came out to clean the furnace, black man. And he was just so enthralled and enthused about the Root series that came out that he mm-hmm. talked for like 2 hours. He was just, and I hated to interrupt him. He was having such a good time. Mm-hmm. And it was about an hour drive from the Sears. But when he got finished, he realized he hadn't even brought the vacuum to clean the furnace. And he had the gall to ask me if he could use my little, you know, little petite home cleaning vacuum, and I said no. So then it was another couple hours, so I had to go get the vacuum and come back. So it turned out to be a whole day thing. I don't know how he fared with his employment thereafter, but I just thought it was pretty interesting.
Mm. Interesting.
Are you saying that he used your vacuum to clean out?
Oh no!
Like an oil burner? I didn't let him. Oh, okay.
I didn't let him. No, he had to go back and get him.
Yeah, was it an oil burner?
Yeah, and it was like I said, these little housing units, and they had the furnace installed vertical, and it really should have been horizontal. So that was like a Sootmeister, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I asked. It would have filled your vacuum with, well, the bag, the hose, every part of it, including the vacuum fan itself with black soot, mm-hmm. if you... Yeah.
Yeah, and there was no way. There was no way I was going to let him use that. You know, it was just funny, though, that he went on and on for a couple hours. But I was being a good listener, and he was just so enthused. I, you know, at that time, I guess, kind of felt like black folks were getting a leg up, you know, with this series and stuff. But they were actually the usual usury suspects behind that have an empire of their own were actually pushing blacks into the whites, as usual. And we weren't the slave owners as much as they were, or the slave runners, but we won't go into that. But anyway, he was just so thrilled, you know, I had to let him talk, but there was no way he was going to use my vacuum.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Murr. Thanks for your call, Murr. You know, Vinny, on this subject matter with the hydraulic fluid, how much time you want to spend on that next Monday, if you can come on?
Well,
we
can spend the whole hour. We can talk a little bit about it now, if you'd like. It's unbelievable.
You know, yeah, let's give a little update here. Vincent's had an issue. We talked about it a couple of days ago. He and I did personally. So I'm just going to let you kind of explain the hoax, the fraud here that was pushed off on you when you had discovered it. And I'll just go and let you take it from there.
Okay. Well, we have a farm and we raise cows. And to raise cows, we have tractors and we have implements. We have a bulldozer, a backhoe, log splitter, multiple tractors. We've got a Ford tractor, International tractor, and a bunch of John Deere tractors. And the common thread that runs through all of what I just said is all of these implements use hydraulic fluid to to do work. And so there are hydraulic pumps, hydraulic slave cylinders, hydraulic hoses. And so, for example, if you have a plow on the back of your tractor and you want to lift that plow up, you pull a lever. That lever allows hydraulic fluid to go into pistons, hydraulic cylinders, and the plow gets raised. If you have a front-end loader, you've got hoses that attach to these cylinders, hydraulic cylinders, and they extend or they retract, and you can manipulate the bucket four different ways. And if you have a bulldozer, it's the same kind of thing. If you have power steering on a tractor, which we do, the power steering system is operated by hydraulic pressure as well, just as it is in most cars that have hydraulic power steering versus the latest models that have electric power steering, which I think is crazy, by the way. But the so the bottom line is, as a routine maintenance item, we need to change the hydraulic fluid every couple of hundred hours. And there are hydraulic filters, just like you change your oil in the engine, you change the oil in the hydraulic system. Now, the hydraulic system usually bathes the transmission and the differential and supplies hydraulic pressure to the steering system. So it does a lot of things, single fluid. And you need to use a fluid that has the correct additives, the anti-wear additives, the anti-foam additives, and so forth. Well, Sitco manufactures a fluid, and they sold it in yellow 5-gallon buckets. And it had names like Premium 303 Tractor Hydraulic Fluid, names like MileMaster 303 Tractor Hydraulic Fluid. And some of it was sold by Orschlin, O-R-S-C-H-E-L-N. That's a farm and ranch or farm and home store. Well, there's a complaint against Orschlin that the tractor hydraulic fluid did not meet the claims on the label. And it shows a late model tractor on the picture on the front of the bucket, and then it says that it is suitable for equipment manufactured by Alice Chalmers, Massey Ferguson, White, Allison, Case, International Harvester, Kubota, John Deere, New Holland, Ford, and Caterpillar. But the fluid did not meet the specifications that it claimed to meet. So in our case, we put in this new fluid, drained out the old fluid, put in the new fluid, and started up the tractor, and fluid came foaming out of the dipstick. Because tractors that we put it in. We put it in the tractors that the fluid claimed it could be used for. What happened was this fluid really didn't meet any specifications, including the viscosity specification. It did not have any additives in it. So what happened was it wore out the hydraulic pumps, the hydraulic cylinders, hydraulic hoses, it plugged up the filters, it caused premature wear on the transmission, the differentials, the bearings, the shafts, everything you could think of wore out prematurely. And when we changed the oil, what we saw is little flakes of metal, trillions, that's with a T, trillions of little flakes of metal, which used to be our transmission, the shafts, the gears, the bearings in our equipment. We blew hydraulic cylinders at $500 a piece. We blew hydraulic pumps at $2,000 a piece. We blew hoses at $100 or more a piece. It was unbelievable, all the damage that this caused. And this is all because, and this is my opinion, everything I'm saying is my opinion, is because of the individual greed of the people at this corporation, Sitco. Or it's intentional takedown of the American farmer. Yeah. By the state of Venezuela.
That's what I thought.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine the hundreds of thousands of pieces of equipment that this fluid has been put in. Log splitters, logging equipment, bulldozers, tractors, probably even automatic transmission type lawnmowers. you know, like the Cub Cadets, the Yardmen, the Murray, those little lawnmowers that are 20 horsepower that you might ride around in. You've got a couple acres to mow, those kind of mowers, these zero-turn mowers. I'm sure this fluid is everywhere. I'm sure that the damage is in the billions of dollars with a B. To me, I think our damage is about $200,000. And what Orscheln, what I've read, is they want to settle for about 40 to 60 cents on the dollar. That's for the oil. The last thing I'm concerned about is the few hundred dollars worth of oil. What I'm absolutely livid about, so I was under, we have a tractor, it's a John Deere Model 2950. It's made in Mannheim, Germany, at an old Mercedes factory. This thing is cast iron, it weighs 12,000 pounds, it's about 100 horsepower, it's a six-cylinder non-turbo diesel. It's a front-end loader. It's a big, heavy tractor. It takes three steps to get into the cab, three steps. The tires are as tall as I am in the back. This tractor is cast iron from the tip of the front to the farthest part of the rear. It's all cast iron. The wheel centers, I'm not talking about the rims, I'm just talking about the center of the rear wheels, probably weigh 600 pounds apiece. They're all cast iron. This is the kind of tractor that you cannot get today. They don't make anything like it. The oil pan has, I think, 36 bolts. 36 bolts to hold the oil pan in. That's the engine oil pan. 36 bolts. Because it's cast iron, and it needs 36. The new ones are stamped steel. So if I were to get an equivalent spec John Deere tractor, it would be nowhere near as good as my 1985 or 1984 John Deere tractor. Nowhere near as good. It wouldn't last as long. It can't do as much work. It's not as long. It's not as wide. It's not as heavy. It's not as durable. They put little tiny four-cylinder engines in the new John Deere tractors. Small displacement engines. They put a turbocharger on it, and they pump up the torque, and they pump up the horsepower, and the engines wear out faster. And the new ones, you can't work on them. You have to have a computer with John Deere software to work on them. And if you can be sued for trying to modify the software that lives in your tractor that you bought from John Deere for like 60 to 100 grand. No kidding. So I'm livid. And I believe that this is a huge, huge crime. And I think people need to be imprisoned for life for doing this.
Well, this story is not over. We got more of the story next Monday. Vincent, if you don't get to do your hay, we want you back on next Monday to talk about this whole issue of the fraud with the hydraulic fluid. Thank you, people, for listening to the show today. I appreciate all your input. Your calls are respected. And please support the network, RB, and go on the website. Hit the donate button if you can. We are the real deal. Thank you again, Vincent, for coming on today. I appreciate you. And we're going to do this again Monday, I hope. I'm crossing my fingers. I'll talk to John about it. This story is not over. There's a lot more deeper in this story. I've got some things to add to this when we talk about next Monday. Thank you very much, everybody. And I hope John will be back next tomorrow, I hope. We'll see. If not, maybe I'll be back. Thank you. Good night.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.